Clicking go live. And we are live. Fingers crossed, technology works. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Feraldi, and this is Brian Stoffel. Welcome to a new series that we are doing called Stocks from Scratch. Brian and I are going to be researching a stock that neither of us know anything about at this point beyond the name and the gist from scratch. We're going to be taking this stock through our research process. You're going to see how we do it in real time. You're going to see us bumble around, ask each other questions, talk out loud about the moat, about the optionality, about things that we like, things that we don't. So this is going to be a real-time look at how we do just that. Before we get started, just want to make sure you know, don't take anything we say seriously. Do not make any buy or sell decisions based on what we say. We are literally researching this stock for the very first time, and we could be dead wrong in a lot of our analysis. Even when we do stocks from scratch, Brian, do you ever buy a stock right away?
Nope. I have a rule after I do put something through my framework called the gut plus 2 weeks. So after putting it through, I read my gut. If it sounds like this is interesting, I'm waiting 2 weeks after that to reevaluate.
Love it. Yeah, I do the same thing. I have a waiting period, cool off period where I look at the company in more detail. I find out the research about it. So this is just going to be how we do our initial checklist for research. So we hope that you find this useful. Brian, you ready to go?
Let's go.
All right. So I'm going to be sharing my screen while we do this. And I hope that this works. And you should be seeing. So here is my public-facing checklist where we've taken lots of stocks through this process before. So you see that we will scroll down to the bottom, and I will start a new one, and we will start with the ticker symbol. So we're going to be searching Coinbase. Ticker symbol there is coin, and then I can just pull down this handy tab and say what is the price now. Obviously, we own zero shares. We don't know. And a couple of things we ask ourselves are, what is the Feraldi quality score? That's what we're going to be doing today. And what is the anti-fragile score? That is Brian Stoffel's score. So we're going to be filling in these two things, as well as these four questions that I ask about any company is there recurring revenue? Is it profitable? Is it cash flow positive? Because those can be different things. And has it beaten the market over the last couple of years? So with that, let's see. I always start with Y charts. I'm going to have to figure out how to start sharing stop. So I'm going to, every time I switch screens here, we're just going to have to go back and forth. So just stick with me. All right. So here's Y charts. And I always start with just a look at how is the stock done, since it came public. So let's see. So Coinbase looks like it's down 10%. The market is up about 2%. So whatever the initial price is, Coinbase is losing to the market. Not a big deal since it's so new. And I always like to look at revenue. What's this happened to this company's revenue over time? Yeah, Y chart doesn't have a lot of data because this company, again, is so new. So not much information there to go off of. So all right, let's start with another blank screen. And Brian, what is the very first thing you do when you're looking at a new stock?
Always the same. I look for the mission statement. Always. Okay.
And how do we do that?
I type in mission statement, and in this case, Coinbase.
Mission statement, Coinbase. And see what comes up. Hey, mission, Coinbase. That's a good start.
All right.
Okay. Ooh, right there on the front page. Our mission is to increase economic freedom in the world. What do you think?
I love that. Now I'm gonna spoiler alert here. I cheated a little bit in that I looked at their prospectus 2 minutes ago. And all I'll say is that there's a different mission on the prospectus.
Ah, okay.
Which is not a good sign. But this mission right here, to increase economic freedom in the world, is that simple? Yes, an employee could make a decision about what to do based on that statement. Is it inspirational? I think so. Is it optionable? Yeah, there's thousands of ways that you could increase economic freedom in the world. That's what we're trying to do right here. So I think that's a fantastic mission statement.
Awesome. Love that. I agree. So I'm going to click over to this investors tab here. I found their investor relation page, and it has a 42-minute video. Okay. Brian Armstrong and Alicia. Is that Alicia? Haas? Commitment to strategy, introduction to
Alicia.
Wow. Wow. Our competitive advantages, our business model. Wow. Okay. Coinbase. What about it? Okay. Coinbase is building the crypto economy. A more fair, accessible, efficient, and transparent financial system enabled by crypto. The company started in 2012 with the radical idea that anyone, anywhere should be able to easily and securely send and receive Bitcoin. Today, we offer a trusted and easy-to-use platform for accessing a broader crypto economy. Highlights: 56 million verified users. $335 billion in quarterly traded volume, $223 billion in assets, 100 countries, and 1,700 employees.
That's a lot of employees.
That really is. For 9 years, that's a lot of... okay, so they have what is Bitcoin, what is Ethereum, some market updates. Great. Some links to buy these things. I mean, I knew all this up front that this was a platform. So we're going to go up top and we're going to find something. I wonder if they have any presentations. Let's see their SEC filings. Okay, so we're going to go to the SEC filings. And this is a newly public company. So it's not going to have an annual report. That would be a 10K. That's a great thing to dig through. It's not going to have a DEF 14A, which is going to be the proxy statement. That's another thing to be read. Dig through. But the most recent prospectus is going to be called the 424B4 form. Just rolls right off the tongue, yeah. Doesn't it? 424B4. This is going to be their prospectus that shows basically their S1, which is their initial registration document, after coming public. So it'll show you their post coming public balance sheet. So I am just going to start there and opening it up. Okay. It didn't seem to follow that, so I just got to make sure that I'm sharing that thing. So we are looking at the same. This should be it. Okay. All right. So they sold 114 million shares of Class A common stock.
Now, you know, okay. You're not sharing, just so you know. There we go.
Yeah. I should be sharing. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Coinbase. Our mission to create an open financial system for the world.
There you go.
Well, what do you think of that mission statement?
I mean, that is also inspirational, optionable, and simple, which is great, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I like the other one better.
I
do too. It's not the same. We want to be consistent there, Coinbase. Our vision, more economic freedom for every person and business. Okay. 2.8 million monthly transacting users and 43 million verified users. Wow. So only a minority. Wow. So they have 43 million verified users and only 2.8 million of them are trading or buying and selling.
I mean, I guess there are some long-term buy to hold crypto investors here.
Yep. Hey, you're one of them. Right?
I am. I didn't use Coinbase, but.
Yeah. Okay. $457 billion in trading volume lifetime and $90 billion in assets on the platform. That's what it looks like. Okay. About this perspective glossary where they explain crypto and all that kind of stuff. Ooh, a letter from Brian Armstrong. So this is the CEO of Coinbase. Can you see that okay?
It's a little bit, it's a
blurry even on my end.
Pixelated.
Yeah. Try and get that across. Okay. Well, I won't read the whole thing. Coinbase is a company with an ambitious vision to create more economic freedom for every person in business. I mean, all right. He's restating kind of the purpose of the business right up front. The current
Brian,
financial
we
system.
We have a business. We have a business. We could just go around and teach them how to pick one mission statement and stick with it.
And it would be a business that is hired by zero people.
Probably.
The current financial system is rife with high fees, delays, unequal access, and barriers to innovation. I buy that. In many countries, citizens don't even have access to sound money, a functioning credit system, or even basic property rights. I buy that. If the world economy ran on a common set of standards that could not be manipulated by any company or country, the world would be more fair and free place, and human progress would accelerate. When I first read the Bitcoin white paper in 2010, okay, the crypto economy, we want to be safe and trusted, building for the long term. In the early days of the industry, Coinbase has always taken a long-term view. We are squarely focused on delivering the best crypto experience to our customers. Today, we're investing in growth because we believe that scale is critical to achieving the potential of our business model. So they're investing for growth today. You can expect volatility in our financials given the price cycles of cryptocurrency industry. This doesn't phase us because we've always taken a long-term perspective to crypto adoption. I love that he's emphasizing the long-term here. We may earn a profit when revenues are high, and we may lose money when revenues are low. But our goal is to roughly operate the company at break even, smoothed out over time for the time being. We are looking for,
How often do you hear a company go public and say that?
The one that comes right to mind is Bezos, right? Saying exactly. Yeah. Our goal is to build a portfolio of products and services, efficient capital. Yep. We hope to make us profitable in the long run. So they're saying right up front a couple of things. First off, I like the mission focused. I like that they're thinking the long term. What I don't like right away, and I kind of had this thought going in, this company is going to have its results are going to be based on a factor that is outside of its control.
Yes.
Its revenue, its margins, and its profits are going to be highly volatile based on the price of cryptocurrencies, which it has no control over.
And let me add something to that too, Brian, because we haven't dived into the business model yet, but I'm assuming that when transaction volumes are up, that is when revenue will be up. And the thing here is that the goal is that eventually cryptocurrencies have a stable price, because it can't be a store of value without a stable price. Without that, it just doesn't work. You don't see contracts being written at scale using cryptocurrency or Bitcoin as the way to do it, because it might be worth $60,000 per coin today and $20,000 a year from now. My point being is that if you want Bitcoin, let's say, to become a store of value, then the volatility of the price goes down. And when the volatility of the price goes down, I would have to imagine that the amount of trading of it would also go down. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes sense that Bitcoin is very susceptible to the hype cycle. It's based on what is happening there, what's happening with the price. Exactly like you said, the price goes up and I can see volume going up hugely. The price goes down. I can also see volume going up. But either way, that this business as a broker is dependent on a factor that is not within its control.
I guess I would even take it one step further, in that in the letter he's talking about how he wants to create a fair and open system, which is great. And if they do that, Bitcoin price eventually at some point in time needs to stabilize. And I'm not saying stabilize be exactly the same amount of money, but stabilize akin to gold. But the problem is once it stabilizes, then the trading volume, I'm assuming, is going to go down. So accomplishing the goal
might make it go up.
I mean, it might. I guess you're right, because then maybe big banks
people would transact with it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I see your point. This is why we do it this way, so we can look stupid at scale in front of lots of people.
Our mission is to create an open financial system for the world. Again, it's great. You might want to update your website, mm-hmm. Or choose one and update your website. The way we invest. Yep. The financial system is struggling. We're building a crypto economy. We started in 2012. We are a leading provider of end-to-end financial infrastructure and technology. Yep, I agree with that. In the early days of the internet, Google democratized access to information. Similarly, Coinbase is democratizing access to crypto economy. They're the Google of crypto, is what they're comparing themselves to. Okay? Customers start with us. Grow with us as they experience the benefits of the open platform system by using crypto-based product for staking, spending, saving, and borrowing. Okay. Enables 43 million retail users, 7,000 institutions, 115,000 ecosystem partners. I don't know what that means. All right. Okay. Retail users, got that. 43 million. Institutions would be hedge fund managers, money managers, and corporates. Yep. Got that. Ecosystem partners. We provide developers, merchants, and asset issuers with a platform with technology and service that enables them to build applications that leverage crypto protocols, actively participate in crypto networks, and securely accept cryptocurrency as payments. All right. So this would be like merchants.
Yeah.
Merchants, developers. Yeah. Okay. So they got a tie in there. Bitcoin sparked a revolution. Today we're never recursors to store their savings in a huge range of cryptocurrency assets. We're powering all that robot platform that enables real-time trading. 365 draws retail users in, creates a powerful flywheel. Retail users and institutions store assets and drive liquidity, enabling us to expand the depth and breadth of our crypto assets we offer and launch new products and services that attract new consumers. Okay? And then people want to be partners with them because of their scale.
I mean, okay? isn't this basically saying we've got the network effect on our side?
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, maybe I do, but can you, from what I understand about Bitcoin, once you buy it, it's yours. It's universally accessible, right? You can move it to other people. That's why it has value. Bitcoin doesn't have value because it's stuck within Coinbase. It has value because it's usable anywhere, right?
Right. But if you want to find someone who's going to buy it from you, then you know that you can go to Coinbase to do it.
And I could see there being benefits to doing that because it's then secured on a platform. It doesn't have to go out there, but okay. I have to think through that some more. Repeat innovation culture, continued reinvestment in engineering, cybersecurity, compliance, usability challenge. With even every turn of the flywheel, or develop a deeper understanding of our customer needs. Okay. We have seen this flywheel effect effectively across our business. Our customers traded over $456 billion in platform since inception, $90 billion worth of assets, 90%.
That storing is important right there, though, Brian.
Yeah.
So let me just offer a real quick anecdote, which is that, so you mentioned, Brian, that I own Bitcoin, but I don't actually own Bitcoin. I'm lazy. And years ago, I bought shares of Grace, the GBTC, the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, which isn't the greatest investment vehicle, but I could go in my normal brokerage and buy it. And I don't have to worry about, like, how do I store Bitcoin? What do I do with it? Like, there are people out there that are much smarter than me that could do that. And I just didn't want to take the time to do it. So the fact that you can at least hopefully store it on here and believe that it'll be there when you need it, that's a big deal.
Sure. I signed up for an account because I'm interested in at least getting a little bit of skin in the game on crypto. And I chose them. I chose Coinbase because it was the name I knew. I know them and I know Gemini. And it seems like there's a lot of places that you can do it, but this is the one that I've heard used the most. And I don't know if that gives me a false sense of security, like, oh, this has got to be the most secure platform. It's the biggest, but it's something that I certainly thought about.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's high switching costs involved then? Because I mean, I doubt you would take a Bitcoin that you own on Coinbase to somewhere else. Would you
go
through that?
High switching costs with every brokerage account,
right?
Every bank, every financial institution,
right?
Especially if you are, do I trust this alternative platform that I am sending my Bitcoin to, that I am sending my crypto to? Is there risk there? Sure. I mean, when's the last time you changed banks?
I want to. I've been saying I was going to leave Wells Fargo for years, but I've got so many things hooked up there. If I miss one, I mean, it could affect my credit score, and you know, there's just so many things that I'm not even thinking about.
Yep. So yes, does this company have switching costs in its favor? I think the answer is yes. Look at this. This growth has come with minimal outbound sales and marketing. Since inception, 90% of our retail users has found us organically through word of mouth.
That's brand value.
Yeah.
Hi. Brand value.
Prove
for the same
that
reason that you just said too.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't see a Coinbase ad. Okay. We and since inception, Since inception, we generated $3.4 billion in revenue, largely from transaction fees that we earn from volume-based trades in our platform. Transaction revenue is 97.6% of our net revenue. So their business is transaction fees for cryptocurrencies. Okay. We integrate with over 15 blockchain protocols, 90 crypto assets, suite of subscription products and services. But okay, they offer these. They're not, they're, that's probably 4% of revenue retailers. Across 21% of retail users who also invest engage with at least one non-investing product per quarter. Okay.
Okay.
We saw net revenue per retail user increase by 90%. Say that again. When retail users invested and engaged with at least one non-investing product, we saw average net revenue per retail user increase by 90%.
Gotcha. Of those 21%.
So if you can, and if they can get, yeah, when somebody goes from having just one product to having more than one product, one non-investing product, their revenue increased by 90% from that customer.
Not surprising.
Yeah. Well, that's still a big number.
Yes, it is.
Although subscription products do not concurrently contribute a significant portion of our net revenue, we experienced 126% annual growth from these products between 2019 and 2020. So that small bit is growing fast. The overall market cap for our crypto assets grew from $500 million to $782 billion of over 150%. We went from 13,000 to 43 million, and we've got 1,000 institutions to 7,000. So they're just super rapidly adding customers.
And that, and this is kind of important because that was just in 3 years, that last one.
Yeah, tremendous. But the price of Bitcoin has gone up. Crypto assets have gone up a lot over that period. Over a long period of time, we've experienced clear growth. Median quarterly trading volume increased from 17 billion to 21 to 38. So trading volume is growing up. We generated revenue of $1.3 billion. The year before it was $533 million. Net income was $322 million, whereas the year before they did a net loss of $30 million. And adjusted EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA is like almost 40% adjusted EBITDA margin. Okay. Limitations of today's financial system, by all that, the need for an internet of value. When the internet transformed, we have reached a tipping point for the need for a new natively digital financial system. Okay?
All right.
Applications of crypto economy are expansive. They store value, cross-border payments. They democratize financial markets, peer-to-peer financial applications, and digital marketplaces for anything. Okay. Our opportunity. While we are still in the early stages of adoption, the market value of exchange traded crypto assets was already $782 billion as of 2020. And their revenue last year was $1
billion?
Yes, $1.3 billion. Yes, something like that. Our objective is to bring crypto-based financial services to anyone with a smartphone. 3.5 billion people today.
Well, it'll be 5 billion within a couple of years.
Yeah. They've got 43 million current users, and they think crypto is going to be used. They could be used by 3.5 billion and growing. Okay. Our platform, 15 advanced cybersecurity, industry-leading standards for managing crypto assets, proprietary crypto compliance infrastructure, built bespoke transaction to analyze crypto assets in real time. Okay. Powerful product experience. It is a very seamless process. Reminds me of, you know how before we were talking about Airbnb?
Yeah.
Like what makes Airbnb different than
VRBO?
VRBO? Yeah. It's a better user interface.
Yep. So simple.
It's very simple. Coinbase definitely has that. We are a market leading brand exclusively. So they are only focused on crypto. We have a trusted platform, default starting place for new users, myself included, significant scale, robust technology, operate a marketplace with one of the deepest pools of liquidity and a network effect.
There you go.
Yeah. Growth strategy, more customers, more depth and breadth of digital assets. Okay. Innovative products, create more customer opportunities, risks, everything. Risks. Everything we said is wrong.
There's no guarantee.
Essentially. Okay. Financial statements. Here we go.
All right. I'm interested in this.
Okay. So revenue. Okay. So net revenue and then other revenue. Okay. What does that other revenue mean?
That's those subscription products.
Yeah. So why wouldn't they call it subscription revenue?
Well, because it's probably not just, but it's mostly.
Transaction expenses.
Shouldn't that be gross?
Yeah.
Cost of.
Well, you divide that by that, and that's a gross margin, if that is their cost, of 85%.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
Up from roughly 80% last year. So that's strong gross margin. Technology costs went up a lot. So they are investing. SG&A went up a lot.
Look at how tiny that is.
Yeah, sales and marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of like Atlassian. Like
or Tesla.
We spend a lot on technology. We spend a lot on R&D and very little on sales and marketing. So sales and marketing is $56 million, and their gross profit was, call it, $1.2 billion. So yes, that is very low customer acquisition cost. Very low. This number was hugely positive, $1.58 in earnings last year, or $1.57. Yep. Okay. Balance sheet, $1 billion in cash, $3.7 billion in custodial funds. Okay. Customer custodial funds. So focus on the $1 billion in cash. Total liabilities, $4.3 billion. No more convertible stock. So we'll have to get that apart. I'm guessing that this is mostly customer liabilities, but we'll check. Okay. So users grew 34%. Monthly transacting users grew 180%. So assets, trading volume up, and adjusted EBITDA up a lot. Okay. Risk factors fluctuating due to the high volatile nature of crypto assets.
Here, can I think out loud with you here for a second?
Sure.
So this goes back to what I was saying before. So maybe when it's super volatile, going up or down by a lot, then you've got those retail investors that are probably doing a lot of trading. But as it becomes more range bound, which I guess you could say is one of the hopes for people in Bitcoin, if it really does become a store of value, becomes range bound, you're probably going to see those retail investors or those 43 million people trading less. But you're going to get the institutions involved much more then. And the volume that institutions could bring, one institution could cancel out like 20 million retail investors.
Yeah.
So maybe that I'm just thinking out loud where that's where a trade-off is.
And they've got 7,000 institutions too.
Right.
Up from 1,000. Okay. Okay. A majority of our revenue is from Bitcoin and Ethereum. These were 56% of total trading volume. So the prices that they can get on those are a big deal. Okay. If crypto becomes outlawed, cybersecurity, yeah, that would be a big one. got hacked and people like me no longer trusted that Coinbase was protecting our crypto assets, bye-bye brand.
Is that any different than E-Trade though?
No, that's a major thought.
Yeah.
But any brokerage. Those brokers, you know, E-Trade and stuff, they are at least, they offer some protection, government protection with the FICA?
Okay.
What's it called when your government protects some of your assets?
Well, I thought
FDIC.
Yeah, but that's just cash.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's okay. Does this have FDIC protection?
I don't know.
We can do a search for that. Cannot keep. Okay. Security. Yep. Third party providers. Ooh, what's this? Currently rely on third-party service providers for certain aspects of our operations. Okay. Do they rely on third parties? Well, we'll do a concentration search.
Yeah.
After we do this. Customers fiat currency could add, yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Just so you know, it's very common for there to be like every risk that you can possibly think of is listed in their prospectus in 10K. That's why I'm just standing. A lot of these are
boilerplates.
Yes.
Copy and paste.
Yes. And many of these, I'm most interested in like, what are the unique risks to this business, that you're taking on? All right. Well, we still have a long way to go, so I'll just start to skip through that. You can see there's just a whole bunch there. Okay. Use of proceeds. To the extent any research, okay, use of proceeds, no dividend policy, capitalization. So 1 billion in cash. Okay. A whole bunch of that. Select financial.
Cash flow positive.
Yeah, well, we'll see about a cash flow statement. So we got that. So they were net income positive at least last year. Cash balance, yeah. I wanted to get a close look at these liabilities. Convertible preferred stock. I thought that disappeared. We saw their monthly. Key business metrics are verified users, monthly transacting users, assets, trading volume.
Boy, the assets on platform quintupled last year.
Well, that's when the price of Bitcoin goes up that much.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Okay, so stock-based compensate expense was 70 million. Okay. There we go. Management's discussions. Yeah, we got all this. A business model, mostly trading volume, which grew from 80 billion to 193 billion as the price of Bitcoin increased. Bitcoin price log scale, peak trough. So it broke it up into four different cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Each has a varying duration and length. Okay. Crypto market capitalization versus the S&P. That's nuts. Oh, well, they're different.
They're different scales.
Yes, they differ still. Okay. What's this? Okay. Send and receive, invest, pay, distribute, store, spend, save, borrow, and lend. So these are new transaction revenue services are sending and receive and investing, and then subscription and service revenue. So they've launched some new business units.
All right.
They support 45 different crypto assets, and they store value in 90 of them. Across an average 20, have at least one non-investing. So non-investing would be the other ones.
Save.
User growth, pretty consistent up and to the right. Monthly transaction users and crypto volatility. Oh, yeah. So look at this. In Q1 2018, 2.7 million, and that fell all the way to 0.8 million.
Well, that almost perfectly follows the price of Bitcoin.
Yep. And then it's back up to that high. And this is when they have, I forget how many more users, but you can just see how important, how cyclical this is. Very cyclical.
Wonder how tied to Elon Musk this company is. Yeah. Elon Musk's Twitter.
Elon's tweets. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, look at that. Look at that difference. 90 billion. And then they went public right after that quarter.
Which is exactly when they should have.
Yes. 11% of the total value of crypto assets on our platform represented 11% of the total market capitalization of crypto assets.
Huh.
That's a lot. So they have 10%, 11% of the total crypto market is on Bitcoin's platform, Coinbase's platform.
Well, that tells you
and growing. Also
how much they have left to capture too.
And growing. Bitcoin is 70%, Ethereum is the rest, other, and then fiat supported assets volume. This is nice.
Oh, that is interesting right there.
Wow. institutional trading volume was $57 billion.
So, I mean, that's huge because this is the most important chart I've seen so far. What page is this on? 112?
98.
This is the most important one because what you want to see if you invest in this company is you want to see that dark blue grow and grow and grow and grow.
Yep. That is cyclical though. I mean, it's gone down too, but you can see in Q1 2018, their other like height quarter, it was almost all retail, very little institution. Last quarter, it was a lot in two-thirds institution.
Yeah.
And then when they join in on the game, that changes the cyclicality.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Okay. Concentration. Oh, Bitcoin is only 41% of total now. So there's a lot of other stuff going on. Okay. So they're still highly dependent on Bitcoin and Ethereum, but trending in the right direction, at least for now. The that price of those things. Yeah. Growth. Registration. You're going to store other revenue. Okay. Other revenue includes the sale of crypto assets when we are the principal in the transaction. So when it actually owns, so it's generating its own revenue from selling crypto assets, from like buying and selling as a customer. We may fulfill customer transaction using our own crypto assets. We record the value of the sale. Other revenue also includes interest income primarily earned from cash and equivalents. Yeah, so I don't see any other business units in here. So that other revenue is not subscription revenue like we thought. That all feeds transaction revenue. Hmm. No, I could have sworn there was a Coinbase Pro that there was like when I signed up for it, people on Twitter were telling me, "Did you sign up for Coinbase Pro?" And I said,
"What's
no.
the difference?"
I think you get lower transaction fees if you pay like a subscription fee. Oh. Or something like that. All right, but look at the margin here. So the gross margin was 85% and now it's 89%. And all these numbers trended in the right direction and they were super profitable. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Transaction revenue was $1 billion. Subscription revenue was $44 million. Okay, so 3% of total revenue. But growing, and then other revenue. So they made more money, made twice as much money from buying and selling Bitcoin and crypto assets than they did from subscription revenue.
And so for people who are new at this, tell me if this makes sense to you. I would say that other revenue where they're buying and selling is akin to what Zillow does and more people are doing now with the real estate market, where instead of just facilitating the buying and the selling, Zillow's actually buying homes and holding them on their balance sheet and then selling them. It's pretty much, does that make sense? It's similar.
It's similar along the line. It's selling their own crypto assets that the company has invested in. Yeah.
Or that they have on their hands because they bought them when one of their customers wanted to sell it and couldn't find someone.
So here's what's important to me. This number here, transaction number, is going to be volatile.
Very, very.
This number here is going to be steady. Mm-hmm. As their whole goal with it there is just to upsell people to these other services. And yeah, that's growing fast. Look at this. They were calling out. Well, remember when they called out our subscription revenue grew 126%? That was the slowest growing. It actually went down as a percentage of revenue. Okay. Number and the value of store and staking revenues. And monetize that partially. Okay.
All right. Wait. Let's just get what does that mean?
What?
Staking.
I don't know.
All right. If someone's watching on the YouTube channel, they can put it in. I'll look for it. What in the world is staking?
Can you do a quick search on that?
I can try. Doesn't mean I'm going to find anything.
Sure. I think they had it in here. They had a defining of the terms, so we can look for that.
All right, ready? Staking is the process of actively participating in transaction validation. It's similar to mining. A proof of stake. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I know that one thing about.
I know what that means.
That's one thing about crypto is like, and the blockchain is that everybody else can verify transactions by seeing them. So they make money by, you have to pay to verify that transaction. And that's what they get the revenue from.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out and looking that up. Okay. So net income, they were profitable for the last four quarters. They were not profitable. They were profitable. They were profitable. They were not profitable. So they've swung back and forth as they said they would.
Yeah, exactly.
But as they subscription said revenue and services revenue, huh, that's lumpier than I thought it was going to be.
Which one?
Subscription revenue. 4, 5, 7, 6, 10, 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting that to be more up and to the right. So it's not a, it's, that's also a volatile business.
I could see that though too. At this point, but I think that your point still stands that as this matures, it will be less volatile.
Potentially.
I wonder how much that goes up and down based on when stimulus checks were paid out.
Good question. Net cash provided in operating activities. So it was $3 billion. And then investing activities was $5 billion. So we didn't get a cash flow statement, but obviously they cranked out a ton of cash flow.
So they probably had $2.9 billion in free cash flow.
Well, it depends on the sources of those cash flow, right? It depends on if that cash source was from customer deposits. That's not like revenue that was earned.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we need that statement. Dang it.
I know. Great. Limitations. Yep. Say the same thing. So here's their flywheel. More customers, more assets. Customers use more products. I don't see that as that to me is not like a CrowdStrike network effect.
Yeah, you're not going to find that very many places though.
Fair, but if they're saying network effect, unless I'm missing something there, I don't see that as a true network effect. I think this company's advantages are going to be brand and switching costs.
I agree.
I'll be curious how you score them, but
I agree because I think that the thing that you have to remember is that as this gets more widely adopted, if that's what's going to happen, then this isn't going to be the only place where you can go to buy and sell cryptocurrencies. They've got 10%, which is a great start, but there will be others.
There will be. Institutions turn to Coinbase to fulfill their partner. One example, okay, One River Asset Managers selected Coinbase as its initial partner to acquire a large allocation of crypto assets in a matter of days. Okay, so that's just one example. Okay, ecosystem, 7,500. Coinbase DeFi compound through day one launch. What's this? Most important crypto use cases. Okay, Coinbase portfolio overview. Invest, send, receive. Okay, that's helpful.
The fact that, wait, can you go back to that for 1 second? Because it said those are the subscription services. The fact that I'm looking on there and it says store for institutions,
mm-hmm.
That's a huge deal. Right there.
Store. Oh yeah. Okay. That's very sticky assets.
That blue dot right there in the middle of the screen. That might be the most important one.
Store for institutions.
Because of the high switching costs.
Okay. Retailers, Stenbeck. Yeah, there's stake. Reliance staking and alternative validate blockchain transactions. Yeah, that's what staking means. Now we're smarter. We know what staking means. One stop shop. Okay. Invest, store, partners. We have 43 million. Connect, pay each other. Okay, competition. We do the best of crypto. We believe that we're well positioned to execute our growth strategy. We do face from large established financial institutions. Square, Robinhood, PayPal. Yep. Definitely competition.
Yep.
And some big ones. If you're on Robinhood, well, if you trust Robinhood, I guess you'd want to stay there with your crypto assets for simplicity purpose.
Can you buy Bitcoin on Robinhood?
I mean, they're listed as a competitor. I would assume so. I know Square, you can. And I know PayPal just got into that. You can.
Okay.
To say nothing of the Charles Schwab's and
right.
Interactive Brokers of the world. From my understanding, you can't do that on there, and that's going to be a whole different thing for them. But just know that culture and employees, our culture will evolve. A top talent, play as a championship team and be candid and kind. Act like owners. Foster repeatable innovation and focus on customers. 40% of our employees are in engineering, product or design roles. The 1% pledge, to fulfill our intent to pledge 1%, that's the thing that Salesforce started, where they give away 1% of their profits. Employees' time, 1% of their equity, 1% of their profits to charitable causes. That's nice.
Yeah.
Securities, broker dealers, lending laws, others. Okay. Here we go. Management. Brian Armstrong, 38, chairman of the board and CEO. And I know that he is the co-founder.
Brian, he's younger than us. How do you feel about that?
Happy for his success. He took a risk. Mark Andreessen is on the board.
Interesting.
I know that name.
You want to explain who that is real quick?
Yeah, he's the founder of Andreessen Horowitz. He's also the founder of Netscape. He's one of the smartest VCs in the world.
Wasn't he the one who said software is eating the world?
Yeah.
There you go.
Fred Wilson. I've heard that name too.
I have too.
We'll get into who was the other co-founder? Chief Product Officer since February of 2020. All right. 2018, August 2018, 2019, president since November of 2020. Yeah, Mr. Andreessen has been on the board since December of 2020. So 3 months.
Okay.
Okay. These people, 2017. I mean, this company is not that old, so you can't knock them too much for that. Union Square Ventures. I've heard of them before. He's another big name guy. Board of directors, independents. Yep, this is the kind of stuff that Jim Gillies loves to look at. the proxy. Okay, executive compensation. $1 million salary and $56 million in options. So $59 million in total. Nice payday.
Yeah.
How much do they own? Executive compensation. Yep. All that kind of stuff. Certain related party transactions. Okay. How much stake do you place in other non-executives holding stock, Brian?
If they're on the board, I'll take that. Like, that's important to me.
Okay. All right. So here we go with ownership. So Brian Armstrong, the CEO, owns 2.7 million Class A. That's 9% of the Class A and 36 million Class B. So he has 22% of the voting power and 33 million shares. Coinbase current stock price is, $295 times 34 million.
Well, but here's
a big number.
This is shares owned prior to the effectiveness of the registration statement.
Oh, this is the most recent one that we got though.
Yeah.
Usually they have a pre and before, but
yeah,
needless to say,
he's going to have
a lot. So Mark Andreessen owns 23 million, 28 million personally. That's not through Andreessen Horowitz. Okay. So if you're checking the box, is there skin in the game?
Much.
There's skin in the game. Fred Wilson owns 8% and Class B too. I'm guessing those are super voting shares.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he's got held in a trust and everything like that. Andreessen Horowitz, Union Square Ventures. Yeah. All right. There is lots of skin in the game here. They've got a whole bunch. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted me to search for? Let's do
concentration.
Concentration. Asset platform concentration. Okay. So we know about that. Concentration in trading volume can vary widely. We know about that. Decline in the price may require higher concentrations. Yep, we know that. Concentration of credit risk. Companies, okay. Two customers accounted for 10% of the customers' company's accounts receivables. Of the accounts receivables. Not get sound. Okay. No customer. Wow. That didn't happen in 2019, but it did happen in 2020.
That's institutions, right? Yeah. That's institutions coming on board.
Okay. The company had one payment processors and two bank partners accounting for 7%, 8%, and 7% of accounts receivable. One payment processor and one bank partner for 40%, 18% of accounts receivable. No customer accounted for 10% of revenue.
All right.
Okay.
So to make the parts work, they've got a couple really key players, but not their actual
suppliers
customers.
And processors.
Right.
Payment processors. Yeah. Okay. So I will stop with that. And how about we go to Glassdoor?
Yeah. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah. Can you now see my... Okay, good. You can see all the tabs.
Yep.
So I don't have to go back and forth between them.
Nope, I can see
so what you did there. So let's go to Glassdoor, Coinbase. Okay, let's see. Mission, to create an open financial system for the world. Isn't that different?
Yeah. It's just frustrating, but it's still good. It's still good. It's just frustrating.
Yep. Brian Armstrong, 4.1 stars out of 5, 77% recommend to a friend, 83% approve of the CEO. Those are good.
Yeah.
It's headquartered in San Francisco. Fast-paced, rewarding work. Okay. The only thing we didn't get is a statement of cash flows.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Because we can infer free cash flow, but we can't. We didn't get a cash flow statement. The other thing we didn't get is we didn't get a full look at the company's liabilities. We just got a consolidated look.
Yeah, revenue, that doesn't seem right for a prospectus, does it?
Yeah, total liabilities. Consolidated balance sheets. Yeah, I don't want consolidated. I want the whole thing.
That's really weird. If this is not in here, oh, there we go.
No, it still says consolidated.
And it won't show you?
Yeah. Page F4. Here we go.
There we go.
This should be their financial statements. All right. So as of 2020, so $1 billion in cash. And this is before coming public. Mm-hmm. Let's go to liabilities. Customer funds, crypto asset borrowings, lease liabilities. Yeah.
They got lease, no debt.
Yeah, no debt. They do all have right. some. All their custodial funds due to customers, $3.8 billion, but that's offset by the asset.
Right.
Almost all offset. Crypto asset borrowings, small, but they have $1 billion in cash plus whatever they just raised. Real kind of, I wish they did a pro forma. I don't know why they didn't do a pro forma on that. Cash flow statements. Come on. Oh, does this have it?
No.
No. Cash flow. Here we go. Okay, so they did $332 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
custodial, it is mostly custodial funds.
Yeah. So this is a false number. Yeah, but
290. Minus 10. So that's still like $280 million.
Yes.
Is that what
Yeah. I mean, this is $332 million in net income plus $70 million in stock-based comp. You want to go through all those. And then PP&E, property, plant, and equipment was $9
million. And what's the capitalized internal software was about $9 million. So let's say $19 million in capital expenditures. So
are they producing cash flow? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And over 200 million.
Yep. Although the year before, no. So just keep that in mind.
Yep.
I don't know how you're going to score that because last year was kind of an exceptional year. But the big takeaway for me is the balance sheet. Great. And they are free cash flow positive, at least last year. All right. Shall we start filling this in? Finally?
All right. Took us 54 minutes, but we're ready.
This is a hard one to get through. Okay. Financial resilience. Their balance sheet looked great to me. Five. Their gross margin above 80%. That's a 3 out of 3. Returns on capital. Hard to calculate. They were net income positive, and they weren't the year before. So I will say that it is positive. I'm sure they were actually pretty good. But free cash flow was positive and growing. Earnings was positive and growing. Network effect. Moat time. Do they have a network effect? I'm giving them 0 points for the network effect. Switching costs. Once you're in, and I scored this 0 out of 15. Once you are in, what are the chances are you going to switch? I'm going to say they have a 10 for switching costs, because I can see once you're a customer, it's hard to not become a customer. And I'm going to also give them point for their brand. I'll give them 5 for their brand. Is their moat getting wider or stable, or is it narrowing? I mean, they're doing a good job. So I will give them a 4 out of again, they're attracting customers hugely. Yeah. I'm going to give them full credit for moat. Okay. Optionality. Do they have the ability to launch new products or new services within their new markets, in new markets that open up new revenue opportunities? Okay. On the one hand, they do have a subscription service that they are launching. On the other hand, it's not doing anything. It's not really having a big impact on revenue, but at least they're trying and they have said that. So on a scale of 0 to 7, I'll give them a 4. Organic revenue growth runway. It's over 15%. Are they the top dog and first mover here? Yes. Do they have operating leverage ahead? Can they increase profits at a faster rate than revenue moving forward? They're clearly shown that their model is highly scalable. However, it's still going to be dependent on how much their revenue swings up and down. So I'll give them a 2 out of that one, 2 out of 4. Customer acquisition cost, 5.
Yeah.
It costs you almost nothing to get there. Okay. Once a customer is in, is their dependence on Coinbase recession-proof, or is it cyclical? It's cyclical.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn clear. I'm going to give them a 1 out of that one.
Again, mostly based on what Elon's Twitter is saying.
Yes. Is revenue recurring? Yeah, once you're a customer and you're going to be buying and selling, the revenue that they get is recurring in nature. Do they have the ability to increase prices over time to increase margins? I think so, given the high switching costs. I'll give them 4. Founder in the game, soul in the game. Brian Armstrong is the founder. That's a 4 out of 4. He owns a ton of stock. That's a 3 out of 3. Good Glassdoor ratings. I'll give him a 4 out of 4. Mission statement. I'm going to give him full credit.
Yeah,
even though I think that's fair. I really like the mission statement. Okay. The stock has not done anything since IPO. It's not up hugely. That's more of a short-term thing. So this number is going to change. I don't want them to buy back stock, pay a dividend, or repay debt because they don't have any. Do they consistently exceed their expectations? Hasn't reported earnings yet. So add all that up, and what do we get? 77.
Okay. Brian, one thing I want to say real quick on expectations is I love the way that their CEO managed expectations in that letter. He said, we're going to be break even. We're not looking to make money for the foreseeable future. I think that's wonderful. I know that's not exactly what you mean there,
yes,
but I just think it's worth mentioning.
Fair enough. I do too. I like that, but I could see this company doing blowout earnings one quarter and missing hugely the next, just based totally on what's happening with crypto. Okay. Accounting irregularities. None that I saw. Customer concentration. None that I saw. Industry disruption. No, they're kind of a disruptors. Is there an outside force that matters? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. The price of Bitcoin and the price of crypto assets matters hugely. Has this been a big market loser? Too early to tell. Patent protection. Dilution. We still don't know what dilution is going to be. It was $60, $70 million last year on $1 billion in revenue. That's pretty small overall.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that's going to go up. But that's just a guess. I'll mark that for 2 from now. No growth by acquisition, complicated financials, antitrust concerns, headquarter risk, and currency currency risk.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is a funny one. I already knocked him for outside forces on the other one. So add all that together, you get a 70. 70 is a pretty good score for a company just out of the gate, and it can go up if the stock responds well. It can go up if they beat expectations. So there is room for improvement here. So I would mark this company as investable with some caveats. Now let's do the anti-fragile score and make some space here. Coin, Brian?
All right. Mission statement. I like you. I'm going to give them full credit, even though I wish it was a consistent mission statement all the way across, but we'll give them 2 points. All right. So this is where it gets interesting. I'm going to give them, so I know I'm going to give them the full point for their brand value. I think that's enormously important. I'm going to give them, actually, you know what? I'm going to change my answer there. And let me explain why. I'm going to go down to a half point for brand value, but this is why, because I think in the future, you know, Brian, you told the story of how you went to Coinbase right off the bat because you knew them. It was a name that you figured if any you can trust, that's great. The thing is if this is a successful investment, it won't be because Brian Feroli and Brian Stoffel chose it. It will be because banks and hedge funds and places like that choose it. And I think they're going to do a little bit more research than you or I might on it. So I'm going to give them a half point. Switching costs, I'll give them the full 2 points. And network effect, I'm going to give them a half point. And I don't know if that's ever going to go up from there because 90% of crypto assets aren't traded on Coinbase. Optionality, I'll give them 2 points. I think that they have a lot of potential. It doesn't mean that they're going to fulfill that potential. They, I think, have a very strong balance sheet. I'll give them 1. I think that they are in a position to benefit. Now, I'm going to do something a little funky here because the reason that concentration is in there is because I believe that it's important to know if there's a single point of failure. You know, when we talk about an Apple supplier, then Tim Cook making a decision or one of his direct reports making a decision could kill a company overnight. One decision made in one boardroom. I do believe that the same type of thing could happen, especially in terms of government regulation. You know, our friend Morgan House was telling a story about how FDR basically mandated that everyone had to turn their gold in during the Great Depression so that he could gain control over what was happening. I'm not going to let my failure of imagination stop me from realizing that there's some risk there. So I'm going to take a point off for concentration. Okay. And then for the last 3, I give them a point. Good Glassdoor scores, the founders involved, ownership, lots of skin in the game. And that brings our total to 1, 2, 3, 4.
And
10. That's tell you what, Brian, that's a much better score than I was expecting to get here.
Okay. So what was your bottom line here with Coinbase?
So my bottom line, so 7, just to set expectations here. If there's a 7, that's like the investable range. If it's 12 or above, that is why don't I own this? That network effect is iffy. So it might be more of like a 9.5. I'm not quite sure. But what I'll say is that I'm interested. My gut still says no for me because I just don't understand crypto enough. I don't understand how wide these moats are. If I was an expert in this area, it might be a little bit different. But you know, I like saying it's not the score so much as what you learn in getting the score.
Yeah.
And what I learned more than anything is that this is a stronger company than I was expecting. And I learned that there's so much that I don't know that I'm not comfortable investing yet.
This reminds me very much of DraftKings. When we did this for DraftKings, I went in assuming it was going to be bad. And I was like, wow, there's actually a lot to like here about DraftKings. I did not invest in DraftKings, but it scored much better than I thought. I am typically someone that shies away from new IPOs, especially one that are, Coinbase is a couple weeks old, and 2, it's a $55 billion company. It's pretty darn big. How big is like Charles Schwab, for example? Although that's, you know, that's not exactly a look at the company's potential, but Charles Schwab is $135 billion. So that's about double the size. So it's half the size of Charles Schwab in 9 years. Now it's deserved to get there based on the number of customers that it's attracted. And I like the, let's go through what I like. I like the gross margin. I like their extremely low cost customer acquisition cost. I like their focus on R&D. I like that the business model is highly scalable and repeat purchase. I think they've done a great job attracting assets from both retailers as well as institutions. I like that the founder is still involved. I like the high inside ownership. I like that the balance sheet is debt-free. I mean, there's a lot to like here. The thing that I'm going to really struggle with is this business is just dependent on the price of crypto. Like that is a major underlying thing. If the price of crypto goes up, this company is going to do well. If the price of crypto goes down, this company is not going to do well. That's a major, major risk that is like outside of this company's control. Reminds me of investing in like an oil company.
Yes.
Like the oil, like it doesn't matter how good of an oil company you are, or how good of a gold company you are. What's going to matter is what happens to the price of that commodity that you are doing. So that's just going to be a risk that is probably going to keep me away. But if somebody came to me and said, I believe in Coinbase, I want to invest, I say, I understand why. There's a lot to like.
Yeah. And I, what I will say is that, that does make it fragile, that it's dependent upon this one thing, which is really, it's really dependent upon the price of Bitcoin.
Yes.
More than Ethereum, more than Litecoin. Look, if Bitcoin's going up, they're going to do well. If it's going down, they probably won't be doing well. But what I will say too, is that it's not clear how that's determined. I mean, I've joked about Elon Musk's Twitter page, but it's not like there's a committee that decides, oh, Bitcoin's going to go down. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. I'm going to keep my eye on it. I'm not going to invest in it.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same boat there. But of course, that is just our opinion. And you shouldn't do anything based on what we say. Do your own research here. Brian and I are not Coinbase investors. And we disclose all of our holdings publicly on the Motley Fool, but you just want to check all those kind of thing out. So do not do anything just based on what we say. Consider this for entertainment purposes only. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We got some great comments from here. One great one from Carlos Yamarillo saying, you can buy crypto on Robinhood, but you can't withdraw it from the brokerage to your own crypto wallet, which Coinbase allows. So you can buy on crypto on Robinhood. That's a question that we had before. Thank you for that great comment and for viewing. If you like this, please let us know. We're always looking for feedback, but we both really enjoy teaching other people how to invest better. And we think that this is going to be a great way to do that. So we look forward to doing this again next week.
Keep an eye on Brian's Twitter feed to find out what the next stocks will be, and you can have a say in it.
Yes, we definitely want to make this an interactive show. We want to research companies that interest both you and us. So I'll be posting a tweet every week just to say what company we're doing next. We would love it if you could vote. And with that, first one of the books, Brian.
All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.